Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org. Well, tonight we're going to talk about kind of where we're at as a community. We're talking about these transitions for the Noor building, and man, I have been through a couple transitions, both with this ministry, with the prayer room, and then others as well. And there are just some of those pitfalls, laying there for the unsuspecting, for the naive, and just if you've been through one before in your experience, but you just forget. So the title of this message is Transition Well. So when stuff changes, we have these opportunities for a lot of good stuff or a lot of bad stuff to kind of become the new normals. And for a lot of those opportunities, we have a choice of whether or not we allow them. Like I was kind of introing, with us about to move into the Noor building, it's my experience that the transitions can be a setup. The enemy can totally use these for bad and to steal, kill, and destroy. And it can be a setup for the naive or even for the apathetic if we're just kind of not paying attention or don't really care. But we can lessen, we can avoid that heartache if we're kind of going into this thing intentionally. If we are able to see things clearly, kind of discern things, and then come up with a plan to be able to, really what it comes down to is manage the interior traffic. I am such a processor internally. I find it hard sometimes to process verbally, and I sometimes feel like I'm jumbled. And I know I do the most processing and internally, but what that turns out to mean is I think a whole lot. Now, that doesn't sound bad, but what I'm really doing is oftentimes wasting the opportunity to be praying, to be having the same conversation, processing the same things, but actually having a conversation with God. And so I've got time and energy wasted, and I can turn that mental energy into conversation with God, and that's called faith. So this is going to be applicable to the transition that we're going through, but I also want to kind of use this as opportunity for transitions that we're going to face for the rest of our lives, and that might be moving geography. Maybe you're moving to another part of town or out of state or out of the country, whatever it might be. There's changes in different relationships, those being joined to you, those kind of different changes in relationships. Maybe those relationships are ending or becoming lessened. We could be changing occupations and ministry. Sometimes the changes are in income, and that could be, you know, for better or for worse, or they could be changes in expenses. I know with some of the couples that are expecting babies right now, I mean, there's going to be some changes in income and expenses. There might be some changes in preferences or changes in routines and habits and kind of the way that we live life. You know, right now, our current version of normal at one point was new and foreign to us, and then over time, it became normal. So that change could, on the front end, seem scary, but if we kind of approach it with some clarity and approach it with a plan, then the growing pains don't have to be as severe or be as taxing. So I want to talk about a little the perspective on some of the voluntary changes. So I know that this group of people, we're all running toward God. We want what God wants. We want the knowledge of His will. We want to be right in the middle of what He wants, and we want to make our decisions based off of His will and not our own. Now, we are not our own. We know that. 1 Corinthians 7, 22, 24 is a passage I want us to take a look at. We're not free to just simply do whatever it is that we want to do. We are not our own. We've been purchased with a price. Let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 7, 22. For he who called us in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. That's everybody in this room. Nobody was in bondage at the time of salvation. And so this completely applies to everybody in here. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in the state in which he was called. So the rest of the passage, it's not there on the slide, but talks about if you were called as a free man, then you are now Christ's slave. And so what that means for us is we who are physically and naturally walking in the freedom of not being in bondage to any taskmaster or any slave owner, now as free, we are in Christ his slaves. And so that means that we don't just get to make our own choices. We don't get to just do what we want. Those decisions come from the Lord. And so how do we do that? Really what it comes down to, I think Romans 12 is a very apt way to put it. Romans 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, that good and acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Man, I think so many times we lose sight of this, and we begin to make the decisions on our own, and what seems comfortable or what has the least amount of pain or discomfort. And the way that the word lays out our decision-making process is completely contrary to the way that the world makes decisions. There in Romans 12, he just lays it out so clearly, and that is that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And what that means is the things that we believe, the things that we process through our minds, that renewing of the mind is also going to begin to inform our decisions. And so our decisions have to be going through that process, be aligned with the truth of his word. me and Vina right now are in a season where we're trying to find a place in some of the stress and the pressure about this whole move is like, where do we move? And is it this house? And we've already looked at several houses. I mean, we even saw some before we came here today. And I'm comforted. There's a passage in Acts 17, 25 I want us to take a look at. Because even whether it's our clothing or our food or any of the necessities of life, God knows all of these things. In Acts 17, he says, he gives to all life, breath, all things. And he's made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. And here's the part where I want to highlight real quick. And has determined their pre-appointed times. That means when we would be born. And the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. And so as we're searching for, man, where are we going to live, I'm comforted. It's like, Lord, you are completely aware, not only of this present season, but of all the times that we've, you know, moved addresses or, you know, look for a house or whatever it is, and the Lord has pre-appointed these things, and he's well aware of it. And so some of the decisions that we make might seem arbitrary or might be intentional for whatever purposes, but I just want to, again, call us to the concept or to the reality that we are God's and that we've been purchased with a price, and we just don't get to make those decisions. And so really what it comes down to is, well, how do I make a decision on a house, and how do I make a decision on a job or a this or a that? What it comes down to is faith. And if we can make those decisions in faith, informed that we're walking according to what the Lord has for us, then that's pleasing to Him. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So whatever the situation is, make that decision in faith. I was trying to describe, well, how do you make that decision in faith? And one of the analogies that I was thinking of is, like, if you've ever been on the diving board, and you're kind of determining, all right, like, what am I going to do? If you can't, like, go on the diving board and, like, have the confidence that you're able to pull that thing off, you're probably going to hurt yourself. And I've experienced that. Like, I just don't try any of the fancy flips or anything like that, because I know I'm going to hurt myself. I'm not that type of diving board, like, awesome trick. Now, if you want to see awesome tricks, you can see Brad or Landon. I've seen a face-off between those two, and it's pretty amazing. I just don't have the faith for that. And so it's like, if you're coming to the decision and you kind of view it that way, it's like, I'm standing on the end of this diving board right now, and it is going to be ugly if I make this decision. And it's probably not in faith, right? But we can have that faith. We can have the peace of God. And sometimes it's even just a permission, like, Lord, can I do this? And so I would just invite us, as often as we think, whatever decisions that we're making, run those through the counsel of the Lord, whether it's in the Word or through prayer. Also, you can get some really good counsel from your leaders or whoever it is, the small group that you're a part of. Just want to, man, there's such a good system that the Lord has set up for going to Him, for making these decisions. We don't have to do it alone. And I love that. Well, sometimes those decisions are made for us, or we don't have a choice but to respond in faith that God would provide and protect. So, you know, maybe it's, well, you got laid off, or, you know, some decision or some situation happens, and it's like, well, I had no way of making that decision or even thinking about a diving board. So what do I do there? And really what it comes down to is, well, Lord, if this is happening right now and I didn't have a choice, I'm going to trust that You are going to provide and that You're going to protect. And right now I want to be making the decisions of what do I do now to move forward, to be in the center of Your will. And one of the things that I've just loved growing into to my kind of theology on decision-making processes, and as a leader, I see this as such a wise bit of advice, and that is, if the Lord told you to be doing something, do that until He tells you to do something else. So I've found so many different job situations or other type of engagements or circumstances that just grow stale, and it's like, Lord, this is dumb. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm checking out. And it's like, no, God told me to do this, and that's the last thing He told me to do. Until I hear otherwise, I'm going to continue doing that. Sometimes it's gotten hard at work. Somebody's being real mean and unreasonable, and it's like, I don't want to do that either, because I don't like, you know, people being mean and unreasonable to me. We don't have the freedom to make those type of decisions. The world would say, if your boss is being a jerk, then, you know, turn in your 2 weeks and find something else. But who knows? Maybe the Lord is using that situation, and likely the Lord is using that situation to have patience, have its perfecting work in us. And man, I've been in those situations, and they are not fun. But if we can just kind of have a general rule of life of, let's be found doing whatever it was the Lord told us to be doing last until He gives new orders, there's such security and such confidence and such faith and rest in knowing, am I doing this right? And man, that's such a better way to do life. I know that as a leader, I've had the opportunity to kind of counsel some people through that, and even here recently. It's like, well, did the Lord tell you to stop doing that? Well, no. Okay, well, keep on doing it until He speaks. I mean, you can ask Him. Keep on asking Him. But if he hasn't spoken that, then, you know, just stick with it. And who knows? It's likely that the Lord is using that to mature you. And that's kind of the tough pill to swallow, but what I've seen it as the case many times. So, want to shift gears and talk just a little bit about transition. There's a couple ways that you can do it. You can do it poorly, or you can do it well. And the main goal in this message is to learn how, or to remind us how to transition well. I want to talk right now about kind of the opposite, how to transition poorly. So the children of Israel made probably one of the greatest displays of a poor transition in human history. It's estimated that the trek out of Egypt to the Promised Land should have taken no more than 2 weeks. Like, take that many people, that long of a journey, about 2 weeks. But we know that it took them 40 years. And so as you study this, what are some of the key takeaways? I mean, that is a major transition out of bondage and into the Promised Land, and so many implications, and the Lord has used that in types and shadows. But some of the takeaways that I get from that, from those 40 years that the Lord in His mercy put, in the Word, is some of the things that they did poorly, and I think it's for us to learn, is when they were traveling, they began to grumble and complain against the Lord. And when they finally got there, now that is such an understatement of all the different events that took place. I mean, you have the people of God who have Moses leading them, and he's gone for, a few weeks, and he comes back, and the whole nation has just completely lost their mind and started making idols, and then people are grumbling and complaining, and then there's sin in the camp, and then the earth is opening up. I mean, just so many different things that the Lord was trying to work out of the nation and prepare them to go into the Promised Land. And then, so the grumbling and complaining against the Lord, and then I find this just as tragic, is finally when it came time to cross over, man, they doubted and they cowered. And it was this doubt, this unbelief that the Lord had called them to it, and not being able to see with eyes of faith, but just looking at what all the everything said on paper. And man, there was massive loss. The Lord did not allow anyone over 20 years old to cross over. And there was, I mean, just so much loss. And I think that there is, man, so many lessons to take from that. But I want to zero in on kind of the grumbling and complaining during this transition and how they did it poorly. And I think we can just learn so much from it. So the grumbling and complaining, really what it comes down to is many times that is an indicator of offense, right? And so we've had a little bit of tip-off from some dreams and some words that the community have had, that the enemy's plan right now is offense for this community, division and offense. And so in its plainest sense, not that this makes it any easier, but maybe we can kind of see things with clarity. When it comes to offense, what it basically comes down to is we had some expectations, and those expectations didn't happen, and so now we're offended. Now that can play out in a lot of different ways, but what it really boils down to is those unmet expectations and it being left unresolved. And it doesn't have to be that way, but if we're not aware of that kind of simple equation, and we're not aware of the ability to combat it, then we really can get offended. I think that if we can try, I mean, I'm thinking even this new building. I remember when we transitioned from Brad's living room doing prayer meetings, transitioning to the Livermore house, and we started using, I mean, this was a big transition for us because we started using microphones, and we really started using the format, and then I think that's also when we went to 2-hour prayer meetings. And I was so offended at this new model and the microphone thing. I was like, this is so dumb. Why do we have to, you know, use? And so I had these expectations of what it was going to be like. And man, it's what a silly thing to waste mental, brain cycles of offense, because I had this expectation of the way that things were going to go and the way that things were going to look. And then when we got there, it played out, differently than what I thought, and maybe even the way that I thought it should go. And man, just this grumbling and complaining, and man, we can just totally avoid that. Now, what that doesn't mean is that you can go in with zero expectations, because that's kind of unrealistic. But what it means is we can hold our expectations a little bit looser, right? And so as we go in, as whether it's this Nora building transition or maybe with here with Foreign Fellowship or a job or a new living space or whatever it is, you know, we can go into those things with some expectations and maybe some hopes and some plans and stuff like that. But if those things don't pan out the way that we had expected, then there's a real opportunity for offense. And the enemy will use anything, small, big, whatever, to get you offended. And man, it doesn't have to be that way. One of the transitions that that I'm remembering is when Jesus spoke of a couple different transitions. One of the ones that I'm remembering is he's talking to the Samaritan woman, and he's kind of reading her mail and stuff, and she's like, "Oh, I perceive you're a prophet," and he's like, "Well, the perception that you've got right now about worshiping has nothing to do with going to Jerusalem or even being Jewish, being one of the children of Abraham. What it's going to come down to is being a one who's able to make this transition. The kingdom is here now, and it's transition. And it's, I'm looking for those who would worship me and worship the Father in spirit and in truth." And really what it comes down to is that's kind of the complaint, or not the complaint, but the accusation that the Pharisees had against them was they were operating in this old model, and they couldn't make the transition, and it really hurt them because they were looking for something completely different. Another one of the transitions that Jesus talked about was the way that people would fast. You know, as John's disciples are kind of asking, like, "Hey, Lord, we fast a whole lot more than your disciples do. What's up with that?" And he brings this new revelation of fasting for intimacy and relationship and longing for the bridegroom. And he kind of brings the analogy of a unshrunk cloth being sewn together, and then when you wash it, man, those threads are going to pull away. Or the wineskin, pouring new wine into old wineskins. And those, in both of those situations, the transition that Jesus is talking about is real. There is a new cloth, or there is a new wineskin. And if you don't make the appropriate transition adjustments, then man, those things can really end up messy. So the grumbling and complaining are really indicators of offense, and we can take care of those things. Really, the remedy for those is quick repentance. As soon as you see yourself, as soon as I see myself grumbling, complaining, just nip that thing in the bud and put the axe to the roots and quick repentance. And then on the receiving end is quick forgiveness. And I think if we can we can operate with those two kind of main default modes of, if I'm feeling offended, I need to go real quick to repentance, and you know, if somebody's repenting to me or whatever, just, man, offer that forgiveness, and we will do so much better, I think, if we operate that way. So that's the grumbling and complaining that I kind of identified in the children of Israel. The other one, though, is the people who were not able to transition, not to see with eyes of faith and transition fully. I think that there's a couple of ways that can kind of manifest. One of is the stubbornness to not let go of the past. I'm thinking of situations where sometimes people will hold a grudge, or just have that one event, or that maybe it's a traumatic experience, or maybe it's a glory days of past or whatever. It's like, man, the stubbornness to not let go of it. It's fine to remember those things and put them appropriately, but man, to be living in the past, I think, can really hinder us in transitioning to what the Lord has. But then there's also the other end of that spectrum is to jump the gun and to try and transition too quickly. Man, there's both ends of the spectrum of going too quickly ahead of the Lord, but then also not willing to let go. I'm thinking of Lot's wife. She didn't want to let go of that, and she's looking back, and there was judgment on that. And then there's situations where the Lord has spoken to transition or to do something particular, but it's not for right now. There's just so many different, I'm thinking the Lord, just for me individually, the Lord spoke to me back in 2007 about going to be a priest before Him and to go full-time to the house of prayer. But man, not gotten that release yet, and it's coming up on 9 years now, and I'm like, Lord. But I don't want to go ahead of time, because if we do these things ahead of its time, what we end up doing is we end up having to fight more than what we would have than in the time of the Lord. We fight for something that we wouldn't have to fight for. So it's more expensive to do it, but then it's also more expensive to maintain it. And it's just so much easier to wait on the Lord and His timing and allow Him to take care of those things. Now, it's not fun to wait. The Bible says that patience will have its perfecting work in us. And in nowhere in there does it say, and you're going to have an awesome time. But what it really plays out to mean is often it's going to be a lot longer, cost way more money, and you know, we would have been, if we were in charge, we would have pressed play on that thing way before the Lord. But that's why He's the Lord and we're not. So we leave those things to Him. So we don't want to do things too quickly ahead of the Lord, but we also don't want to be holding on to things of the past. There are some really bad things about not transitioning. I was in traffic one time, and I was asking the Lord. I was like, Lord, why traffic? What is the deal? And the Lord really began to download this concept of the reason that traffic is so bad or is so common is people don't transition well. Think about the merge, right? So if you're merging onto the highway, you've got to speed up enough with the flow of traffic and find a gap and then move over. And if you're transitioning out, if you're merging out, you've got to kind of find the hole, the space in the gap of traffic, and then merge over. And so if people traveled at a constant rate with enough distance between each other, you could pack the highway with a ton of cars and have zero traffic, just steady flow. But people don't transition well. You're either going to go over, people either go over too quick or wait too late, they're too timid, and I remember the Lord speaking to me about this traffic, and I was like, that's profound, and that's not what I was expecting to hear about, you know, sitting in traffic. But it really made sense to me. I think that the probably one of the most difficult things about driving on the highway is that merge. And there's sometimes a sense of entitlement that gets in people's way, and they're like, they're not surrendering the lane, or they're, you know, going too fast, or going too slow, or whatever. And I think this is a kind of a societal manifestation of we are bad at transition as a culture, and it doesn't have to be that way. We can totally not have to do that. So again, it's important to recognize the potential of being too anxious and transitioning too early, as well as being fearful. And also sometimes it's maybe not fear. It could be just being lazy and failing to transition at the right time. So it's good that we allow the process of transition to have patience, have its perfecting work in us. It matures us, it makes us more like Christ, and that's really what we're after. All right, so that's transitioning poorly. We can, though, transition well, and that's kind of the way to do it. Got this image up there. It's kind of the, man, going into the glory right there, the trail going in. That's what we're after. As a school teacher, I've made this observation that as a general rule, parents have in a large way, at least with the students at my school that I teach, the parents have likely with good intentions really done some of their kids a disservice by trying to treat them as adults when they're children. And I was reminded this week it's in the Ten Commandments and in Ephesians and I think in Colossians as well, but obeying your parents. And I was kind of dialoguing with the Lord about this situation of the way that students act sometimes. And the Lord brought this to my memory by saying, my word says obey your parents, not to bargain or not to argue with your parents, right? So I'm like, man, that's so good, because I've found that it's very uncommon for an authority figure to give a directive to a student, and it's very infrequent for yes sir, yes ma'am, and then they go for it. It's either grumble, complain, it's argue, it's bargain, it's I'm going to do you a favor if I do this, so I better get something back, and there's so many things. And really what it did is it was a confirmation. Vina and I have kind of taken a different approach. It's really, I feel like it, we want to give our girls the best setup that we can for them to be obedient to the Lord and to love Him. And one of the things that we've done and been really intentional about is I remember hearing the concept of like, hey, you're being a good girl, you're being a good boy or whatever. And I remember just feeling like, I feel like that could place this complex like on the child as they grow up of like performance. And their worth kind of being on that. In dialoguing with the Lord, I felt like a way to go different is to place a premium on obedience. And the way that we've done that, and you're welcome to take this or whatever, but we've taken the concept of you're being a good girl to you're being a good listener. And if you ever see us parent, one of the things that you'll hear us probably pretty frequently is talking about being a good listener. And I just find that to be a way for them to view taking cues or taking directives from authority figures and being a good listener is being obedient. And you could quiz one of my girls, and what they'll tell you is being a good listener means that we are we do things quickly, completely, and with good attitudes. And that's one of those things that I think that I can, or that we can really take to heart in the way that we get directives from the Lord. When we get those directives, when we get the call from the Lord, we want to do them quickly, we want to do them completely, and with a good attitude. And I think doing it that way really overcomes the pitfalls that the children of Israel fell into of grumbling and complaining and really being fearful of crossing over into the promised land. Having eyes to see and ears to hear is not just a passive response. It really is active, and it comes down to being obedient. The transition of whether it's ministry or work or family relationships, whatever that is, we can do them well if we take our cues from the Lord, if we're found in the will of the Lord, and really all of those things set us up to transition quickly, completely, and with a good attitude. I don't want to be found having the Lord speak to do something or looking back or not transitioning completely or not having the courage to take the land. And I think that if we do these things, what it really does is it sets us up to be able to love God and love people. The first and greatest commandment, and the second along with it. This is our highest calling, is to love God. But we can find ourselves in opposition to God, and really we put walls in the way. We put things, hindrances in the way of loving God if we're taking our cues from the world or just doing what we want and not being in obedience to the Lord's will. So doing it this way, having a good attitude and transitioning quickly. Now, I understand, for instance, with this, the Nor building, quickly is as quickly as the Lord will allow us. So, that means a year. But we don't want to take any longer than what we have to, right? And so the transition can set us up, can give us the opportunity and really set us up to love the Lord. It's our highest calling, our most rewarding preoccupation. And again, the brain cycles, the thoughts running to and fro of this situation or this conversation, and they did me wrong this way, and they didn't even hug me, they didn't even say hi to me, and they're just being rude and all this other stuff. We can turn all those things into prayer, and again, that's our highest calling is to conversate with God. And I love the reality of if we are in conversation with God more frequently, if we spend time with the Lord more frequently, there's a natural byproduct. Our hearts are softened and tenderized, and we become more like Him. I mean, it's kind of like if you hang out by like a nuclear power plant, there's byproducts of that. You start glowing green, you have like three eyes and stuff. That's not good. If you hang out in coal mines, you could get the black lung. And I mean, there's natural byproducts, right? So the byproduct of loving or spending time with the Lord is another way to put it is the fruit of the Spirit, right? So the fruit of the Spirit, when I was first walking with the Lord, I kind of saw the fruit of the Spirit and even heard teachings like, these are the fruit of the Spirit and these are the things you should try to become. But as I've walked with the Lord, I've really seen like, you can try and become those things, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, goodness, self-control. You can try and become those things, but really, those are byproducts. That's a fruit. That's the reward of being with God. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. And what are those traits, those fruit of the Spirit for? It's for interacting with people. It's for loving people. And so I just love that it's like, okay, so if you do the first and greatest commandment, then it kind of lends itself that you're going to be a lot better and prepared to love people. And so that's the setup is let's transition well. Let's do it quickly and completely with good attitudes and allow the traffic. I'm kind of imagining like the traffic cop, you know, in my mind of thoughts coming. And instead of just allowing the thoughts to come and go, instead of that, like, let's reroute them and turn them into prayer. And that I think that is just going to serve us so much better than having the synapses fire off and be useless. So let's turn those things into prayer. And so got a couple takeaways. Main idea for us, let's be intentional to guard against offense and to transition well as we move into specifically as a community moving into this new building. Let's be intentional to guard against offense. We've got a couple ways for us to do that. We don't have to be offended. We don't have to stay offended. And we really can walk in freedom. So the first way is to be quick to repentance and forgiveness. It's a little bit of a jump to get over that pride of I'm about to be really vulnerable and admit that I did something dumb or wrong or rash. But as soon as you get over that threshold of pride and say, I was just really rude to you, I'm sorry, or whatever it was, man, that repentance just opens up vulnerability and draws us closer to each other. And then the quick forgiveness, we don't have to hold on to, well, I'll sleep on it and I'll see if I forgive you tomorrow. We don't have to do that. We can totally just clear the accounts on both sides, and we can just let those small things actually be small. This is such a good way to live in general, but it does call for intentionality, and especially in transition when we are so much more focused on. So, like in normal situations, you could be really good at repentance and forgiveness when there's no variables. You've got your schedule, you've got your habits, you've got your routines. You do this on Monday, you do this on Tuesday, and oh, there's a little bit of irregularity. Quick repentance, quick forgiveness, but when there's so many different variables and changes and stuff, you might be off completely thinking of something somewhere else, and we forget stuff like this. So let's just be intentional during these times of transition while our attention is being, you know, preoccupied or whatever. If you mess up, just, I'm so sorry, I did this. And just eat it and just own it. And then, man, it is so much better to be slow to anger and quick to love. And then the second thing is let's have some grace to bear with one another. I mean, these are both not like revolutionary. This is Christianity. This is how we walk with the Lord. It's how we interact with one another. But these two things, I think, if we just kind of put at the forefront of our minds of I'm going to be on the lookout for quick repentance and forgiveness, and also just having grace for one another, I think we're going to be a lot better off. It's probably been our experience already in the past year as we've been preoccupied with this move that the ball gets dropped, right? And it's not anybody being overly like malicious or anything like that. Sometimes it's just like, I forgot to say hi to you. Or I was beelining it to get this thing off the printer or whatever. And, you know, there's just so many different variables or situations that can come up. We're going to have some of the things change temporarily. We're going to, be preoccupied or whatever it is, but let's just have grace for one another. Let's right now they're you know, act indifferent, out of character, and let's just treat it as that, out of character, right? And so our current version of normal was once new, and whatever it's going to be in a couple weeks and months will be the new normal. And, you know, some things will probably change, and we'll be able to have a bit of new habits and routines, and there's going to be a lot of stuff that's similar. And in whatever ways that you can, you know, during times of change, it's probably a good idea to try and get some normalcy and some stability. That's always good for everybody. But the two things that I would say is just a takeaway. We're going to look at Galatians 6, 1 and 2. We're going to close out. So let's be quick to repentance and quick to forgiveness. And let's make sure that we're extending grace to bear with one another. Galatians 6 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear with one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So I'm going to pray for us.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.